Welcome back, fellow travelers. This is Relish the Journey, and as always, I'm your host, Miles Biggs. Today's guest is Trevor Polly. He is the owner of Trevor Polly Studios. He's a filmmaker, photographer. He's just started a new podcast called Creative Addiction. And we talked about what it's like to leave your corporate gig and go out on your own, some personal stuff about how to propose to your girlfriend and that emotional journey, and then the podcasting stuff and what it's like to get one started. So enjoy this episode. There's a lot of little nuggets of wisdom that will apply to you, whether you're starting a podcast or your own business or working in someone else's business. You can take a lot of things away from this episode to keep crushing it in your day-to-day. So enjoy. All right. So the first thing that made me think, let's talk to Trevor, was your new venture of really working for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I don't botch it. It's just, you call it what, Trevor Polly Photography? Or
I call it Trevor Polly Studio.
Okay.
And I like to call myself a filmmaker and photographer, but okay. I shoot video and take photos. that's the easy way to go.
Filmmaker sounds really good, though.
See, that's what gets everybody. That's, you know, funny. Filmmaker sounds more official, I think.
So what got you into filmmaking originally?
Like actually filmmaking, I kind of just randomly one day found myself watching a movie. This was like freshman year of college, and I was just like, man, I want to know how that was done. And so I started like everyone does when they want to know how things are made or done. I went to YouTube and searched it. I started watching a whole bunch more behind the scenes of movies and found myself just like down rabbit holes, seeing how they were made. And then I got into, you know, well, how did they do this effect? And so I was watching a whole school YouTube channels on that. So basically just, yeah, I wanted to figure out how I could do that stuff and how I could make basically kill my friends on camera without, like, I don't know, actually killing them. So sure. Just like for fun.
So you figured out freshman year of college. So were you already majoring in something else?
I was undecided, and I went to Susquehanna University in good old Central PA, and I was thrown into business classes, which, like, in hindsight might have been useful for me, but at the time I was like, wow, no way, get me out of here. This is terrible. And so kind of hopped through freshman year not really knowing what I was doing. I was playing football, and that was like my main goal, my main concern. And then in between freshman and sophomore year, I quit football, decided on mass comm as my major, just to get into some of the communications classes, and then my film classes as well along the way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's funny you say that about business classes, because I work in business and I majored in corporate communications, it was called, which was the fancy way of saying business, but you only have to take one accounting class, not two.
Okay.
That was gotcha, really, yeah. It was the same like econ and marketing, and there was an emphasis on like conflict resolution and public speaking and those kind of things. But what hooked me was, oh, only one accounting? That was, and now I do so much with numbers and finance, it's like I should have just sucked it up and take that accounting class.
That's kind of like exactly how I felt. It's funny, now I'm running my own business, but like hated the idea of business classes at the time. It's just kind of a weird the way that worked
out.
But
that's an interesting point to draw upon, because I've interviewed people here that run their own businesses, and a lot of them, it's like, it's almost better when you don't have the textbook knowledge.
Yeah.
Because it can taint the way of like, the way you actually have to do it in the real world.
Right.
You have to close the textbook and say, okay, what works, not what's the definition of, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, I definitely can relate to that. I'm lucky enough to have friends and mentors in the business world a little bit that have taught me most of what I know, especially when it comes to numbers and accounting and everything like that.
Oof, sure.
That is something that I was literally never interested in until I had to do it for business purposes. So, yeah, that... Definitely lucky to have some friends in that world.
Absolutely. So back to college filmmaking
and
killing your friends without killing them. What was the first, like, quote-unquote film that you made?
It was just that, actually. I was in a horror films class, and we had the option to choose whether or not to write a paper for our final project or shoot a movie, like a 3 to 5 minute long short film. And I was like, give me a camera, shooting a short film. And I lived at the time with 7 other guys in a big townhouse on campus. And I killed all 7 of them in like very like makeup, blood, everything. Like it was the first production I ever put together. I watch it back now, and it's so bad. It's just terrible. But mostly my friends acting, but sure. the effects and stuff aren't as bad as I remember them playing out in my head. Yeah. So that's good, I guess.
I might regret saying this to the world because they might look it up and find it, but whatever. I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
I was in a really bad high school movie.
Okay.
Same thing. I think it was for humanities class, and we made a movie, and I swam all through high school and college, and I think we ended up calling it The Adventures of Speedo Man. And it was me running around in a Speedo, being the quote-unquote superhero, doing stupid stuff.
Oh, shit.
We actually stole a sheep. Not stole. We knew the farm, and the girl owned the farm that was in the class. So we took a sheep in a car, drove it to somebody else's house, left it on the doorstep. You know, just
did like, you get the sheep in the car?
Yeah. We were driving in the car with the sheep in the back. And then we had two redheaded kids, so it was like they were the gingerhead men instead of the gingerbread men.
Okay.
And they were the evil guys. And it's just, but super bad effects, super bad editing. Yeah. I was a terrible actor.
Hey, there's concept and story, you know, I was driving it.
I was in my Speedo for all the world to see.
That's so awesome, man. Wow.
I can relate to a bad.
Someone's going to look that up.
Someone will find
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I'll just share it myself.
I was going to say, get out in front link in the description.
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I actually
awesome, man.
Forgot about it until just thinking about the bad effects.
Oh, dude, yeah. That was definitely the early days. Things have changed for me quite a bit, I hope.
Then, I'm curious now, how do you kill someone without killing them?
It's basically all camera work, camera angles, or editing. At least that's how I did it and have done it multiple times since then. I go with the whole, like, not the Saul approach to things where they show everything on camera, the more classic horror film style of, you know.
Shadows on the wall.
Yeah, shadow. That's exactly what I did in the first one. Shadows on the wall. Sound effects, hinting at stuff rather than showing it.
Got it.
So that's I haven't made a horror short film in 3-4 years, but that's what I did, at least for the times that I have made.
Nice.
Made a couple. So
yeah. So then you majored in that, you graduate.
Mm-hmm.
It's your first gig right out of school, a film gig? Or
yeah, actually, so I searched everywhere, like all throughout pretty much Pennsylvania and even, you know, to the surrounding states for something that I really wanted to do in video. I figured it would have to be more advertising because that's just the realm of things unless I was actually going to a film school. But I, contacted our buddy Chad, who you know as well. And lucky enough that the same day I reached out to him to see if they had a position open, the girl that worked under Chad put in her 2 weeks notice.
Oh wow.
Which was weird timing. But yeah, that so I ended up a month later starting my gig in that same position that she quit out of. So yeah, it was in video advertising basically in good old Central PA. So
and so how long did you do that?
I did that
corporately
for 4 years almost to the date 4 years after college. So yeah, pretty much June to July, 4 years away.
So is it different as an artist, really,
mm-hmm.
doing it, killing your friends without killing them for fun, really, even though for school, versus you have a client, they don't care about your art, they just want this. I mean, that had to be hard at somewhat to transition into that.
That was, like, probably the biggest challenge for me. Like, when I started at the video gig, it was just a totally different, like, approach to it. You're right. Like you said, no one was interested in like the creative aspect of how you did things. You just had to get a message out there and kind of tell what deals were, you know, on what was on sale that month or whatever. So I had to learn that, and it took me probably a good, 6 months to actually get that down. And once I did, it made it a lot easier. And then I could kind of work in over the next bunch of years, kind of some of those creative techniques and creative filmmaking styles and stuff into the advertising. And that, when I realized I could do that, I think that kind of changed my approach to things quite a bit. So
did it go from, you're doing it for fun in college, now it's your job.
Yeah.
Did it ruin a little bit of the fun for you? Like, did you still come home and I'm going to film for fun now? Or you're like, don't want to look at the camera.
At first I didn't want to pick up a camera outside of work. Cause we were pretty busy. We were doing a lot of projects, usually on a short timeline, which just made things, you know, turn over and over as we went. But yeah, definitely for probably a good 2 years after I started, I did not film much outside of school, or sorry, outside of work. And then I finally picked up a camera again when I started traveling a little bit with my, at the time, girlfriend, now fiance, and just some fun YouTube stuff to post out there.
Yeah, you guys did like a beer review thing together, didn't you? I remember seeing that.
Okay. Yeah, we did. We did. We called it Taste Test Tuesday, which was like a 70 plus week in a row venture for like sampling beer and like giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Just something fun I thought of. Like at the start of a year, I was like, I wanna make that happen. I like beer and good beer, so yeah. I was lucky enough that so does she. So we. Yeah, we did that for a while. I vlogged for a little bit, did the whole like, traveling around, filming myself, which is super uncomfortable. But yeah, that was a fun world. I'm glad that I have those videos now. I don't think it's something I want to get back into anytime soon. But it was fun because we get to go back and watch some of the things we've done over the past.
Yeah, I say that all the time about this too. Is I'll have this audio time capsule. You have a video time capsule of that point in your life.
Yeah, yep, that's a good point. It's just capturing memories, basically.
Yeah. That's cool.
So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I can't, once I finally like was over the fact that it was okay to film things outside and not for money or for work, that made me happy again to be filming things outside of work.
Yeah. So then what made you, because you've since left, you've got your own studio.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, you know, moment where it was like, I can't do this anymore for somebody else. I'm going to do it for myself.
I think a combo of things, one main one being just that, oh wow, I think that I could either A, make the same amount for myself or make more, or B, pick and choose the clients I want to work with.
Sure.
Because I got into a little bit of a negative feeling in my own head for work just due to some of the clients video-wise that I was dealing with. I loved everyone that I worked with, but some of the clients can be tough. And that's the nature of any business, but, I just like the idea of, I think I'm stubborn in the fact that I just want to pick and choose who I work with and make awesome stuff. So it's kind of the basis of it really.
Yeah. So is it working out the way you thought? It's the,
yeah. Yeah. The first, let me think now, I've been out like a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. And it's a challenge for sure. Like it's definitely, like it's not waking up every day and doing whatever you want, you know, like you have to go get it. You have to like, and that took me a little bit to realize, and like, it's super easy for me to wake up, make a cup of coffee, sit around, I guess I'll edit a little bit, you know, now I'm going to, you know, go work out or go, you know, on a run, like go do whatever else I want to do. But you kind of have to chase the checks instead of waiting for them to come to you. So, that was something that took me a bit to realize, but once I did it, it's been all like pretty much uphill from that point. So, and I've been lucky enough too in doing that, I've gotten back into shooting a lot of weddings, which is another way for me to make money, but also for me to get more artistic in my filmmaking and not just focus it on sending a message out there for people to go buy something or go visit somewhere.
Well, it's gotta be huge for networking and just marketing of your brand too, right?
Like yeah.
Everybody's got some uncle that owns a business that wants to do a video or something at the wedding. And then people love those.
It is.
Those videos of weddings on Facebook and stuff, and they share it, and then you just get in front of more people.
Yeah, dude, that's like, it's kind of odd that I've not advertised the fact that I do wedding videography, like, at all since I started my business, and I'm still booking weddings just on basically word of mouth alone, or because someone saw my video on Facebook or someone knows somebody. Like it's all, it's a nice little feature with wedding videos that kind of, doesn't work a ton like that with advertising stuff, but the wedding videos for sure.
So what do you say is your split then between types of work, right?
I'll
lump them, because just to be basic, you got the wedding stuff or the, I don't want to call it easy money, but like you said, it's word of mouth, it almost comes to you.
Yeah.
And then there's the stuff that you got to go hustle and get, bring new clients, and then there's probably some passion projects that you do because you love.
Yeah, that's
what's that mix?
That's I'd say it's probably a good like 45, I'd say 50% business stuff, 45% weddings, and 5% passion stuff.
Yeah.
It's tough to find time to do your own thing when you're, you know, out trying to make a buck.
Sure.
And, honestly, like, it still feels like I'm making my own stuff just because it's me, you know, I do shoot with a couple other people on occasion, like Chad, for example. My brother helps me with weddings. You know, but most of the time it's just me. So I still feel a sense of pride in the fact that I'm out here making videos for people. But yeah, the actual passion projects that, you know, you really want to make, like if I wanted to go make a new horror movie,
sure.
That would be tough to pull off on the schedule that I'm rocking right now. So. Sure.
So how do you go get the checks? Like you said, like what's your tactic to go sign a new business client?
Oh, that's a good question. So I was lucky enough that when I left my old production company, that a couple of those clients reached out to me when they found out that I left and kind of wanted to still work with me. So I have a couple of those that have turned over onto my own business. But for new clients, it's just basically all about reaching out and, networking a little bit. There's a couple groups in the area that I know, like I'm very, involved with the Danville Business Alliance.
Okay.
And so that's obviously, and if you run a business in Danville, you know those people, and I've been lucky enough to get involved with them and kind of poke my way through a couple of those businesses and sure. shoot some video. That's one way. That's a really enjoyable way. Then there's the not so enjoyable way of kind of, you know, emailing people, phone calling people, cold calls and stuff. Just like, hey, I shoot video. I have a really good idea for you. How do we make this happen? You know, and that's right. been successful, and it's definitely not been successful. It's just a sure. matter of trial and error for me, really.
It becomes a numbers game, right? I mean, that's how I've gotten like half the recent podcast people. It's just reaching out, right? Like, hey, you look like you do something cool. Here's how I'd like to highlight you. Would you be interested?
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for me because it's free. I'm not charging you.
Right.
But yeah,
I find that, yeah, you get a little bit more response
absolutely.
When there's a free aspect involved.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
So then going back to the passion projects, marrying that with something you said earlier of vlogging and traveling with your now fiance. How long, you were just in Europe recently, and that's where you guys got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you over there?
So 13 days was the total from when I landed to when we flew home. And that was awesome.
And that's gotta be like, that's the ultimate perk of working for yourself.
Right? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Vacation approved.
Unlimited. Yeah. Right. That's something my friends and I always joke about. They're like, oh, Trev, you think you can get off these days? I'm like, oh yeah, I can. Cause funny. I get it. But yeah, that was an amazing trip. And that is definitely something that I'm thankful for, you know, just being able to do if I can, you know, like a trip right. like that obviously isn't a cheap thing to pull off, but, you know, we were able to go and we experienced Oktoberfest, which was
awesome.
Relating it back to our beer,
sure, yeah.
beer we'll channel. Yeah, we ended the trip because we did stop in a couple different countries and ended the trip in Germany for Oktoberfest. So
did you do a taste test Tuesday in Oktoberfest?
Thumbs no, up. To be honest. It would have
funny
been,
if you thought about that.
It was thought about. It.
Be drunk in front of
yeah team. Man, that would have been a different kind of taste test.
That's funny.
That would have been a wild taste test, but definitely fun. Yeah, Oktoberfest is something I recommend to anyone.
Yeah,
for sure.
So what other countries did you go to?
Flew into Budapest, Hungary.
Cool.
And then from there we went to Vienna, Austria, which I had been to once before, and then from Vienna we went to Prague in Czech Republic, and then finished in oh my gosh, I'm blank. Munich for Oktoberfest. I'm like, yeah, Germany. Where was it?
That goes back to the beer you drank.
Yeah, right there. I think I remember where that was. But yeah, those places, I had been to Munich and Vienna before.
Yeah.
But they still are just like seeing them for the first time. They're just awesome. And Prague and Budapest is definitely underrated, I think. Like, it's very, Hungary itself hasn't been around like a free country for very long. So they're up and coming, which is cool to see, but Prague is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like when you think of Europe, you just you might as well look up Prague, because Prague looks like just old cobblestone, cool streets.
Sure.
So I highly recommend Prague.
Yeah, one of my really good friends from school, he's into filmmaking and nice. Does stuff. But that's his job. Is he works for, I forget the name of the company, but it's basically a travel company. So he'll be in Europe for like months.
Wow.
Home for a couple of weeks, back to Europe for months. And he goes to these different places to scout out what there is to do, put a tour together, bring people there. They film videos and stuff.
Wow. That's
and I'm like, so his Instagram account is just
like, I was going to say,
what is this life that you're living?
Yeah, you know, for real.
We're here with cornfields and stuff, and he's in, you know, Hungary and yeah, stuff.
It's, that's awesome. It's wild. What a gig that is.
Yeah.
And that's something like I try and be frequent on Instagram for a lot of, you know, business work to show off a little, use it as a portfolio type of thing. But when I was over there, it was like, oh my gosh, post. Just like,
you have to.
Yeah. It's like, man, if I did this for a living, this would be the best gig of all. Right. He sounds like he's literally doing that.
It's awesome.
That's a great gig.
So how do you think travel like that? You know, Europe's the extreme, because that's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But travel anywhere in new places, how does that feed into your art when it comes to filmmaking?
Hugely feeds into it. That was ginormous for me when I was actually still like vlogging and stuff. Because I did like 100 plus, I'll say that, vlogs. And most of them were trying to like travel places and see different things within the US.
Yeah.
And then I went on a cruise outside, which was okay. but I feel like you see new spots, you see like, I feel we get used to our surroundings here at home, and you know, we, like you said, we see a lot of cornfields here in PA, and like you can get kind of bored with it, so you don't look around as much anymore. And for me, with like the visual aspect of photos and video,
oh yeah,
that's, you know, so when you travel somewhere, kind of opens your eyes to more things. You're looking around more, you're seeing a lot more stuff, and I feel I use that, and that feeds to me to kind of snap more photos, shoot more video, and hopefully put some sweet things together in the long run. But
the perspective thing is interesting. So I've been to Italy, and that was it. When we went to leave, another kind of weird story, but you show up and everyone in Europe's got some sort of accent, and they think we do too, of course. But instead of saying my flight's been canceled, it's this Italian woman telling me my flight's been deleted. That's the way she phrased it. There had been a fire in the Rome airport.
Oh my Lord.
So a bunch of stuff was canceled, and we stayed in the Tuscany region. So I didn't have a day in Rome at all.
Okay.
But so I was like, sweet, I'm stuck in Italy.
Yeah. Oh darn.
Oh no.
Oh darn.
Worst problem. And so they gave us the option. You want to stay here at the airport, or you want to stay in the city of Rome? And I'm like, Rome.
Yeah.
Like, Rome, number thank two, you. Please. Yeah. But it was cool. They covered all the meals, covered the hotel room, all good stuff. And nice. We got to spend the day in the city and just wandering around, which is my favorite way to travel. I'm not like the tour guy.
Yeah.
I just want to see like, you know, parts that people don't know about, wandering alleys and stuff. But walking around, and then I just saw this guy, and I just remember it. He's going for a jog around the Colosseum.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, think about that for a second. The freaking Colosseum is where you take your morning jog.
Right.
And we're coming back here to the, you know, cornfields. And to me, that was just a crazy, like, juxtaposition of,
that
like, there's
wild.
Everyday life, and then, like, the history of the world.
Yeah.
Where they meet in a city like Rome is pretty...
That is crazy to think about,
pretty
man.
Crazy. And then you come back here, to me, again, perspective... I would just have a great appreciation for the normalcy, the quiet central PA stuff when I go other places and come back and exhale. And
yeah,
because it's just, I don't know. I guess you get used to it, but to me, it's like a lot when you're like in a city for a period of time and you're used to something like this. It's nice to just have your quiet and stare at your corn. And
yeah, you know. I'm with you. It's, I always look forward to the coming home. It always reaches a point that it's like, all right, I'm ready to get back to something normal, to get back to like a routine.
Yeah.
A lot of time for me, you know, relating it to work or anything for that matter. I'm big into routine. I try and do, especially in the morning and stuff. And on vacation, that's not a thing, you know, on trips and stuff, that's not a thing. So, yeah, it always is nice to come back. And then, you know, I'm home for a month and I'm like, all right, where are we going next? Like, pack the bags, like, let's book something. But, you know, it's not that easy all the time. So,
yeah
it's definitely... Definitely interesting to think about, just like waking up in different parts of the world that we might look at as destinations, but people are actually living there and running next to the Colosseum every day.
Well, and think about that person that he's going on the jog in the Coliseum, but then he's going to go book an Airbnb in, like, you know, right, upstate New York at the Finger Lakes. Yeah. And he's like, whoa.
Yeah, I'll go get a tiny house
what
somewhere.
What is this?
Yeah.
So it's just funny. The world's – you realize how just large the world is when you leave the United States and go anywhere, really, because mm-hmm. we get trapped in ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. That's for sure.
So it was 13 days. You got engaged over there.
I did.
So was that, like, in your mastermind purpose of the trip was to get engaged over there?
No, we had decided almost exactly a year before with a group of friends. And at the time, the group of friends was like 8 people. We all wanted to go to Oktoberfest. That was the goal. And eventually it just ended up being us two and then another couple. And, I had been with, her name's Lacey. I had been with her for, 5 years anyway. I was like, all right, it's time. This trip is going to be awesome. I want to do it somewhere memorable. And yeah, I didn't have a, I had thought it would have been in Vienna because I really like Vienna.
Yeah.
But I never found a good spot. There was too many people. So I did it in Prague, the last day we were in Prague. And that was definitely, if I had to pick a memorable experience, that was,
yeah.
Besides the actual words I said, cause I blacked out.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah. No one remembers. No.
Yeah. The whole experience outside of the, you know, 30 seconds to a minute I was talking to her. That was amazing. It's an amazing time.
So how do you get a ring through security on an international trip?
I just put it in my carry-on, to be honest really? With you, or in my pocket. It was pretty much always in my pocket through all the travels. Thankfully, because my luggage got lost.
Oh my God.
In between my layover in Brussels and Budapest, my luggage went missing for a day and a half. Which at the time I didn't care, you know. I had all my valuables on me, had my camera, like I was happy just to be there. So
I feel like that would stress me out. Like,
oh yeah.
Just to have a diamond in my pocket.
It's constantly
just
checking.
Anticipation, yeah.
It was burning a hole for sure. And I had it for maybe like a month beforehand too, so just like just trying to remind myself, stick to the game plan, make sure it's on you at all times, or if it's not, make sure it's somewhere safe. So
right.
Once I actually got there, it was with my buddy and his stuff the whole time, basically because Lace is a bit nosy. So I didn't want her snooping around in my stuff.
That's funny.
Because she definitely had an idea. So,
yeah.
You know, I didn't want her trying to reach for like Burt's Bees in my backpack or something and pulling out an engagement ring. So made sure that didn't happen.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
So talk about that if you would. Like I always like to have these conversations with people that aren't engaged but then weren't, you know, are now engaged or married or whatever, but because to me it was like the craziest roller coaster ride of emotions. Like I don't know if you asked for her parents' permission, but that's a crazy experience.
Yeah.
And then actually asking her, like, you've been with her for 5 years, you know she loves you, mm-hmm. like you're probably living together at that point, so like it's pretty set, but then it still comes to the point where you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing it. I'm about to ask her to spend the rest of her life with me. And it's just like the craziest emotion.
Yeah, dude, it definitely. So the whole asking the parents thing is a little interesting scenario. I told her mom and I told her sister and her brother. They all kind of had an idea too. Like her mom just kind of laughed at me. She's like, I know why you're here. Let me see it. Like laughing in my face.
That's funny.
And then actually the day of, because the couple we were there with too knew the new game plan, and it was basically just about me finding a spot that was photogenic, if I'm being 100% real with you.
That's
like
awesome.
I had this image in my mind of like cobblestone streets, nicely lit, like
right
dropping down to a knee with maybe some people walking by, and I found that, which was awesome. I didn't think that would happen. And then unfortunately, like the street lamps were gas powered and didn't come on until a certain time because old Prague, you
right.
know, that's how things work. But, so we had to wait, which made it like super, I just got way more nervous during like the hour that we found the spot and like waited, had a beer to try and like calm
sure.
some of that. But it was just so like, I was trying to make sure everything was right. Like, you know, do I have it on me? Is the ring, you know, in the box, right? If I open it up, is it going to fall out?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, like all that stuff that's like, you know, a nightmare proposal but luckily none of that happened. It went well. She said absolutely. So that's better than yes, I guess. But,
that's funny.
And then, yeah, the, the shot looked good as well. So, perfect, right? I did well, I think.
Well, I'll share my story with you.
Since but go ahead.
Agree with you that it's just like anticipation kills you. So, yeah. My wife Claire didn't want it to be in a public place. She's like, "Don't put me on the Jumbotron. You know, don't do it at dinner. Like, absolutely do not. I don't want any part of that." So I'm like, "Well, okay. How do I do it then?" Because everyone's gonna ask, "How'd you get proposed to?" Like,
yeah,
you could say you're in Europe. So right. It's like awesome, right? But I'm like, "All right, I gotta find a way to make this interesting." She loved Easter egg hunts growing up as a kid, and was coming up on Easter, and she was bummed that she wasn't going to be home with her family because, you know, vacation days, blah, blah, blah. And I have Good Friday off. She didn't. So I'm like, okay, she's going to work. Perfect. I can set up an Easter egg hunt in the apartment. I'm going to put the ring in an egg. She'll get home. I'll meet her with a basket and just play it off like, "Oh, I know you're a bum, so I set this up for you. I had nothing to do all day."
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So she leaves for work, and it's like 8 a.m. I get it all set up, and I'm done, and it's like 10 a.m. And she doesn't get home till like 6. And I'm like, "Oh my God, what am I going to do all day?" And I just like climbed the walls. You know, I had a couple bourbons.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But, oh man. And then it was just a blur. Like you said, I have no idea what I said.
Yeah, you just black out.
I feel like you black out. But then, funny enough, she actually got it inscribed on my ring. Her response was, "Is this a joke?" And I was like, "No, it's not a joke." So in my ring, it says, "This is not a joke."
That's awesome. And that's cool.
So, yeah.
I mean, that makes it, you know, anything memorable, man.
Yeah. But it's just, it is that crazy, like, roller coaster of emotions. And after it's like complete euphoria. You're calling everybody, and it's, well, maybe you couldn't because you're in Europe.
Oh, we did. Yeah, for sure. Wi-Fi.
But nice. Yeah.
How long were you guys together before?
So we dated starting freshman year in college, okay, all the way through college, and then for a year after school. So, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Right on. So about the same time. And then, it's just like you said, it's like you anticipate pretty much what she's going to say, but man, you just get nervous no matter what.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like butterflies all over. Like, it's definitely an experience that I highly recommend to people. It's,
yeah, right?
It's nerve wracking as hell, but
it's awesome.
It's so much fun. Yeah. It wouldn't have had it any other way.
So what do you think is scarier, going out on your own business or proposing to Lacey?
Yeah, I guess going out on business is pretty terrifying. That was something that I tried to plan for 6 months, and it definitely probably could have used a full year to do it. You know, it definitely like didn't. There's things you can't plan for that come about. But
well, you plan all you want, and then you know stuff happens, and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah,
about it,
right. So. Which is kind of like a proposal, but I tried to keep that. But no, definitely like the whole going out. I think she would even say the same. She'd be like, "Yeah, when you went out on
business." Scary for her too. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Definitely. And I'm lucky in the sense that she's super supportive. So, but yeah, definitely that over the engagement. I think for sure.
That's funny. Well, I believe it.
Yeah.
So talk to me then about this podcast you're starting, because mm-hmm. We've been trying to connect for, man, it's probably been months now.
I was gonna say, yeah.
I was busy. You were away. And then we finally got it together.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're like, "Yeah, let's do it," because I'm doing one too.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. We'll talk about what the show is and all that, but are you going to try to make it a part of Trevor Pauly Studios, like the podcast side? Is that like an end goal for you, or is it just another focusing more on the passion projects you don't get a lot of with video, and you're going to bring it in with the podcast?
Yeah, I love listening to podcasts. So I think that, I mean, the main reason I wanted to start one anyway is A, I had like what I thought was a half decent concept, and then B, I really just wanted to make one, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm a dork for equipment and gear. So like anything audio wise that sounds crispy or video wise that looks awesome, I'm like really into. So I just wanted to make a podcast, and now that I'm actually like I've started it and I'm like in the works here of releasing it, it definitely pumps me up a little bit more to kind of see where it goes. Because it's not definitely the topic is not something that I'm going to be limited to. Like if I want to do another podcast, I love, not that there's not a million sports podcasts, but I love sports. You know, I love films, just like, you know, we kind of talked about. It's something that I could see maybe being a bigger part of Trevor Pauly Studios if, you know, down the line a little bit, but there's no plan for that really. It's just kind of see where it goes type of thing.
Sure.
But
well, I'll give you one, 'cause I got an idea.
Okay.
My marketing brain. To me, I wasn't sure if this was your plan, because you've already got this network of people that are paying you
yeah.
for content. And so you could put packages together where you grow the podcast into a following, and you say, yeah, you're going to have your data and my demographics, and I'll do this video for you. And then if you want to do like the plus package, you'll get a, you know, 15-second liner on the podcast,
right on, yeah,
and reach X amount more. And then you just kind of work it, man, and just keep pulling at the strings to get more.
That's
and
a good
more
thought,
involved,
yeah.
And then kind of grow it into a multimedia thing.
Yeah, so, which I don't hate. Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, there's so many options for media these days. And yeah, I think that's a really good thought, actually. Something I hadn't thought about. Seeing that I've only recorded one episode, sure, one episode,
yeah,
it's kind of like
you're really fresh.
But yeah, that's a really good thought. So I appreciate that. Yeah, look at the marketing guy over here.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
I can't turn it off. I have more ideas than I know what to do with. Sometimes they get me in trouble.
Right on, man.
Well, that's cool. So talk about the show. I mean, what's it called? What's the idea behind it? Can people find it anywhere yet?
I don't know when you're planning on putting this episode out to people. My goal is to have a couple of episodes recorded before I put it out there.
Right.
And I want the release to be, I'm thinking, the beginning of February,
okay,
2019. So it gives me a couple weeks still to get my ducks in a row.
Yeah, I think those will probably go out right before it.
So okay, cool. That's nice. And then, yeah, the idea, it's called Creative Addiction, and the idea is just basically having conversations with creative people or people that have ideas that they make something, they produce something, anything from video creators to winemakers or beer makers, you know, people that just make a product or you know, produce content. I want to talk to, and I want to get their creative thoughts behind why they do it and where the idea came from, because I'm just into that kind of thing.
Sure.
So yeah, that's basically, again, wanting to make a podcast too is a big reason behind it. So.
That's where I was at too. Same thing. It's like people ask me that a lot. What made you want to do it? It's like, I just wanted to.
Yeah.
And I listen to all these other people doing it. It's like, why don't I do this?
Right. Yeah. So, well, I can do that too. I'm gonna. So, yeah.
Well, and I think that's an interesting point too, because so many people, I talked to, I forgot how many episodes it was ago, a couple episodes ago, but his name is Tyler. He has a podcast called How They're Here, and he interviewed somebody. So it's like degrees of separation here, but they're talking about entrepreneurs versus wantrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so like an entrepreneur actually puts in the action to bring an idea to life. And the entrepreneur is the guy that's like, I got this great idea. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah,
no, there's another quote I read recently. It's like, there's no $1 million ideas. There's like $1 million execution.
Mm.
It's like,
there you go.
So true.
That
is, you know,
true.
It's not worth anything until you do it.
Yeah.
So what do you think it is about you that makes you do it? When other people talk about it, you're quitting your job and starting your own company, you're flying to Europe and, you know, getting ready to get married, starting a podcast now, just adding to your repertoire. What is it about you think that drives you to keep doing that?
I think that I have a little bit of, again, a little bit of stubbornness in me that I just want to make stuff. I want to do stuff. I want to know how things are, you know, especially if podcast wise or work wise, like, I just want to do it myself, you know, like it's kind of the whole thought of like, if you don't like what you're doing or if you think you could do it better, then why aren't you, you know?
Sure.
And so that's in one sentence, that's pretty much why I left the job to begin with and do it to start my, you know, my own studio and stuff is just, I wanted to do it for myself and do it because I thought I could do it better. And I'm not saying that in everyone's minds, it's better. It might not be, I don't know, but in my mind it's better. And that's kind of, you know, what counts. So,
yeah, at the end of the day.
Yeah. And like, that's what makes me happy. So, I think it's just that, you know, the stubbornness for creating things that are my own, really.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. Kind of where most of my like professional career has come from, I think. So
just being stubborn.
Yeah. Just being stubborn.
That works. So, I keep coming back to this, but I think it's interesting when people actually take the leap. Before you took the leap to start your own business, did anybody give you like a really, you know, poignant piece of advice that still sticks with you?
There was definitely plenty. I can think of a couple individual people that gave me some really good advice towards just staying patient in terms of not getting frustrated, you know, with the whole small business thing of most don't make it past a certain point. And it's usually, you know, very early or
I think it's a year. Yeah.
It's a year. and patience isn't one of my best qualities. Like I'm very much of the mindset I know or I want to do something, then I just got to do it. Like the podcast, for example. So I think that was the best piece of advice I got, was just to be patient. Trust, you know, kind of what your product is and trust your work, and, you know, just keep doing it. Just keep like going out there and, like we kind of talked about, reaching out to new people. Yeah. So networking.
Just consistency. At the end of the day, it's, I feel like always, like I'm a fortune cookie sometimes. I love just like quotes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I forget the exact phrasing, but it's really just, you can outwork people. And you can, like, so many people just give up.
Yeah.
But it's the people that have quote unquote overnight success. It's just, they just sucked the longest at something until they didn't suck anymore. Yeah. You know? They just kept going. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I agree.
So what would be a piece of advice you could give to somebody that's, you know, contemplating doing what you did, you know, starting a podcast, you know, want to propose to somebody, some of these themes we've talked about, if you had to pick something to give someone advice on, what would you say?
I think my piece of advice would be, plan the best you can. And all those things you just mentioned and all the things that I'm doing or have done, like my proposal, I tried to plan to a T. Leaving my company, I tried to do for 6 months and probably could have used a year, you know, like plan to the fullest extent in every way, monetarily, you know, to the day, your schedule, like your to-do list, just keep a solid plan in mind and try and stick to it the best you can. I think that'd be my hearty piece of advice.
Like it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a piece of advice I got in college talking about planning, and you know, we said you can always plan and then, you know, life hits you in the face. But yeah. It was a professor I had that said, you always plan for 7 unexpecteds.
Yeah.
We were doing event planning. It was like part of a class.
Okay.
Because you're running an event or whatever. There's always something that happens and it's the end of the world or whatever, but you build in some of those contingencies. So it kind of goes with that you have to plan for stuff to not go the way you want it to go too, and then just be okay with that and then adjust and adapt.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Kind of plan for the unexpected as well. You know, plan for the things that you know you can control, and then, yeah, plan for some of those that you don't even know of yet.
Right.
So that's a good piece of advice too.
So how would you describe the journey you're on so far? If you had to sum it up in 3 words, what would the 3 words be?
The ride itself, like the, just kind of the, my life, or,
I'll let you decide.
Okay.
You can even say the ride itself if you want. Those are
3. The ride itself. There you go. I don't know, man. It's kind of tough. I think that if I had to like describe me and how I approach my stuff, it's just like creative and stubborn, man. It's just like what we talked about a little bit. Like just, you know what you want to do, stick to that, and you know, be as creative as possible. That's kind of how I look at things.
You have to change the name of your podcast now.
Yeah, right. Creative and Stubborn.
Creative and Stubborn with Trevor Powell.
It's not bad. It's not bad. That's
fine. I like that answer a lot.
Yeah.
It does sum up everything we've talked about so far.
Yeah, so I think that fits.
So we've talked about you being creative and stubborn in a positive way. Has there been a time when you think it's worked against you and it's turned negative?
Yeah. I think that when I've been, and I'm a very personable person, like I get along with pretty much everybody.
Sure.
But in work environments with in like a team setting, anything bigger than 3 or 4 or 5 people, I get a little uncomfortable about when there's too many hands in the pot type of thing.
Yeah.
I think that I'm stubborn that I'm set to what I, you know, what I think is right. Which might not be the majority opinion, of the team, sure. Which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just part of working with a team.
Yeah.
But,
it goes back to you being stubborn.
Right, yeah. That's I think, where it has been the most troublesome, at least in the work environment. I've been stubborn in every other aspect of my life, too, you know?
Just sure.
Being a, I think that's part of being a Taurus, you know? I was born in May, so a bit that's of a fun. Taurus, stubborn in that aspect. But, in work environment, definitely just in a bigger team setting, it kind of gets to me a little bit. Just, you know, I think that, you know, I stick to what I believe, and sometimes it's not just the majority opinion, so... So that's the downfall.
Yeah, oh, that's all right. Not necessarily downfall. So where can people find more of you after they listen to this? Trevor Polly Studios, the podcast, where can they go?
So they can go, they can visit my website, trevorpolly.com, Facebook, Trevor Polly Studio, Instagram is Trevor_Polly. Any of those places you can kind of see my work if you want to check it out. YouTube, I'm sure if you search the name, it might come up with something too. I'm not sure what's still around. I haven't uploaded anything in a while, but the engagement video might be there somewhere. Yeah, then the podcast will hopefully be out shortly after this episode.
Do you have social handles for that already or no?
I do. The Instagram will be Creative Addiction Podcast, all one word. Connected, one word, yeah. And then website I'm not deciding on yet, so in the early stages of all the social stuff. But sure. The IG, it'll be on Instagram and Facebook for sure.
Right so, on.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining me. This has been fun.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to hit stop on this and record on yours.
So. Right on. Sounds good to me.
All right.
Sweet.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of Relish the Journey. We'll link up to Trevor's socials and everything he rattled off at the end there in our description and in the blog on rtjmedia.com. Thank you again to Trevor for joining me. Had an awesome conversation. Be sure to check out Creative Addiction for an episode featuring yours truly. And as always, thank you for your support. Follow, like, subscribe, all those cool good things. And we will see you next week.